A brief challenge from his word. I'm going to ask you to turn to the Gospel of John in chapter number one this evening. The Gospel of John in chapter number one. Read a familiar passage of scripture. We're just going to read a few verses and Lord's help, take some thoughts from those that hopefully will be a challenge to us and something that we can take from here and even apply each and every day of our lives. But John chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, Bible says here, let me see here, did I turn that on? There we go. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 29 through 31, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. We're just going to read those few verses this evening. My text, the text we're going to focus on this evening is the phrase in verse number 29, where John says, as he sees Jesus coming unto him, perhaps he's standing next to a body of water, and he's preparing to baptize. Maybe he's just teaching. And then Jesus is coming his way. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. The topic, or the message, or the title for the challenge tonight is simply this: pointing to the Lamb. Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray that you would guide and direct in these next few moments that we have. Take this message, use it in whatever way that you see fit. Lord, help that the words that are said would be what you want said. The thoughts that are conveyed would be thoughts you'd want conveyed and shared. Lord, I ask that it would be that you would use it to be a blessing, encouragement, bring conviction, challenge, whatever it needs to be. Heavenly Father, may you use it for your honor and for your glory to be a help to those that are here. I ask and pray these things in your name. Amen. Let me ask you a question by way of introduction. What is the point of pointer dogs? What is the point of pointer dogs? Pointer dogs. Anybody know what a pointer dog is? Brother Dave? Point out the prey. Bird dogs, if you will. A go-to breed. I got this from the Smart Canine website. Pointing dogs, sometimes called bird dogs. They've been a go-to brand for hunters all around the world. But even in a typical family setting, the pointer dogs still remain their hunting instincts. So what are these dogs used for? Unlike typical gun dogs, such as retrievers and flushing dogs, pointers would point to their prey with their noses. Instead of actually fetching or flushing out the prey, pointers assisted in leading the hunters toward game by directing them with their muzzle. You can perhaps even just call them guides or assistants for the bird hunters. Now let me ask, does anybody in here have an English setter? According to this, that's the number one pointer dog. There you go. Anyone have an Irish setter? This one I've never heard of. A Gordon setter? All right, those are the top three. So if you need a pointing dog, there you go. Smart Canine website, there you go. All right, that's courtesy there. But I wanted to get the point across. Those pointer dogs, they have a purpose. There is a prey. There is something that they're looking for. And when they have found it, their muzzle, their nose is pointing directly at that. John the Baptist here in John chapter 1, we read of his testimony, of him, of his encounter with meeting Jesus. We find John the Baptist, he has four roles in this chapter. He is a witness, because he is testifying of this encounter with Jesus. He is a mouthpiece. He is proclaiming a prophesied message. He is a servant performing a given task. Remember, he has been given the task of baptizing with water. But then he also realizes the fact that he, along with the world, is a sinner before God. And he points to his salvation. He points to everyone that is there listening to him that day. Behold the Lamb of God. He had a proclamation that day. It starts out with that word, behold. Behold simply means this. So I've got 3 points for you tonight, and they're going to, They're going to rhyme a little bit some, so that'll probably help. The first point is simply this. Look and see. Look and see. Behold. He's saying, fix your eyes upon the Lamb of God that is here to take away your sin and mine. Fix your eyes upon him, as if to say, you are looking at the Messiah. Stop looking elsewhere. The answer is right there, walking down the path in front of you. His proclamation, behold, look and see. It goes on to say, look to he. He said in verse number 30, this is he. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He said, look and see. He said, look to he. This is he. Who is he? He is the Lamb of God. What is the significance of the Lamb? If we were to go back to the book of Exodus, we would read about the Passover Lamb. And that Passover Lamb had to be a male without blemish, male of the first year. And that Lamb's blood was to be killed, and the blood was to be poured out on the doorpost. It was a picture of, if you will, Passover, the Passover and deliverance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read of the Lamb of God and whose precious blood was spilt for us. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's the bringer of redemption and salvation. That is he, the Lamb. Who look to he, the Lamb of God. Look to he, the preferred of God. John said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me. He is preferred. In Matthew 3:17, parallel scripture to this text here, we find when Jesus is baptized, there's a voice that comes from heaven, the Father, that says, this is my beloved Son. In Luke 9:35, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he again says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter's testimony, he talks about who Jesus is, the Son of God. But folks, he is the preferred of God. And he is, and it's inferred here, the eternal God. At the end of verse 30, he says, John says, cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He is the eternal God. I get it. Humanly speaking, John the Baptist is older than our Lord and Savior by about 6 months. But spiritually speaking, ultimately speaking, he existed before time ever began. John's proclamation said, look and see, behold, the Lamb of God. He said, look to he, the one that is here to take away your sin, the one that's preferred by God, who is the eternal God. He said, look and see, look to he, don't look to me. He said, because he was asked prior to this, John was asked, who are you? Are you the Christ? Let's go back in verse number 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Behold, the Lamb of God. I am not him, but he's coming this way. He said, I cannot take your sin away, but Christ can. He goes as far as he's going to say, I'm unworthy of him. I can't even unlatch it. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandal, his shoes, because I can't even touch him. I am unworthy of who he is, and I'm unworthy to be even standing in his presence. I'm sure that's what he was really implying too. He says, I am but a voice for Christ. I am but a voice for Christ, doing what I am told to do. Verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost.
He said he had a job to do. He was just doing what he was told. He was a vessel purposed to carry a message. In fact, think of it this way. He was just a vessel that is purposed to carry contents highly esteemed and valued to a very important to a certain location. A vehicle used to transport and to convey the most wonderful of bounty and treasure. He was proclaiming the glorious message of Christ. John said, "Look and see. Behold." He said, look to he. Don't look to me. He is the one that can save you. So with that, how do we apply that to ourselves? Well, first off, just simply this. Look to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon him. Behold the Lamb. In John chapter 3, if you just go up just a page further, probably for most of us, you may be right across the page. Who knows? The Bible says in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In Numbers chapter 29, we read about the narrative where in the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they go into complaining and to murmuring about the food, about the water. And God sent fiery serpents in the midst. He sent poisonous serpents in the midst of the camp. And what did God tell Moses to do? Make a brazen serpent, put it on a staff, and put it up in the middle of the camp. And when anybody looks at that, their life would be spared. Just as the serpent, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. For Christians, he is our example in both service and in suffering. John 13:13-17, we read of our Lord and Savior washing his disciples' feet, serving, loving. We have a ministry to one another in the church, but we also have a ministry to this world in telling them, "Behold the Lamb of God." But Christ is our example in suffering and serving. And 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we ought to follow his steps. So what are we to do? Look to Jesus. Number two, we're to keep our eyes on the Son of Man. For all he is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In verse 14 of chapter 3 again, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, when Jesus was lifted up on that cross, the gaze of anybody that was in Jerusalem that day or outside of Jerusalem that day, where did their eyes go? They had to be almost had to be turned up. And they saw our Savior crucified. Behold, the Lamb of God. For the Christian, we are in the Beloved. Because we are in Christ, and he is the beloved Son of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he is our eternal King. Keep our eyes on him. We look forward to his coming, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We're to look on Jesus, keep our eye, behold the Lamb, we keep our eyes on him, and then simply remember this. It's not about me. It's all about him. John 3, verse 30. John the Baptist said this to his disciples, those who were following him still at that moment. He said in verse 30, "He must increase, I must decrease." Folks, it's never been about us because we're sinners who are in need of mercy and redemption. And thankfully, as Paul puts it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Jesus came to save sinners. And he said, "Of whom I am chief." Said, "For this cause I obtained mercy, and long suffering was shown to him by God." We're sinners who are in need of mercy and redemption, and that only comes through Jesus Christ. We're not worthy of him. And think about that centurion with the sick servant. Jesus said, "I'd go to your house and heal him." And what did the centurion virtually said? Basically said to Jesus, "I'm not worthy that you'd even step in my house, but I do know that I've got subordinates, and I say, hey, you go here, and they go there. You go here, you go there, and they do that. So I believe that you, Jesus, can but speak the word, and my servant would be healed." And in that self-same day, or that self-same hour, I don't remember what exactly the scripture there says, but that servant was healed. But that centurion said, "I'm not worthy that you'd even step foot in my house." But praise God, we have been made worthy by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And that's the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 8 to 11. And we are called to preach Christ, and we have clear access to God the Father and His wisdom. Ephesians 3, verses 7 through 12. So remember, it's not about us. We're sinners in need of mercy and redeeming. We are not worthy, but we have been made worthy by the grace of God through Christ, and we are His workmanship. Recognize that He is the potter, and we are the clay. Romans chapter 9. And we're to walk in good works through Christ, Ephesians 2:10. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we ought to study and know the Word of God. We are His workmanship. But folks, all of this to say, we need to do three things. Commit to do three things. One, decide to decrease. He needs to increase in every way. He needs to increase. We need to decide today that Christ would increase, denying ourselves daily. Galatians 5 talks about that we are to walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And lastly, we are to direct others to Christ. Remember those pointer dogs? I'm not saying get on your hands and knees and go around and point with your nose to Christ. Although if you want to do that, that's your own prerogative. But the thought there is this. Just as someone pointed you to Christ, we ought to do the same. Point others to Christ as well. Direct others to Christ, preaching Christ crucified and risen from the dead with power to save and to make new. Folks, may I encourage you to be Christ pointers today, leading souls to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Look and see. Look to He. Don't look to me, because I'm going to point you right back to Him. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for this evening that you've given to us and for this time we're able to have in your word. Lord, I ask and pray that you'd help us that going forward, that we would have the mind that, and I believe that we would, Heavenly Father, but continue to help us that we'd have the mind that we would point and usher anyone to you, Lord, that our lives would be lived, that it would be a reflection of Christ, and Lord, that it would draw men to Christ. Lord, would you help us with that? Even as we go from this place and as we go our separate ways, Lord, even as we, and may that be our focus even throughout the year this year, that our goal for 2023 would be pointing souls to Christ. Just as John did that day when he proclaimed that Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one to take away all sin, he pointed to Jesus Christ. May we be that same way and have that same attitude. Lord God, we need your help with that. Would you help us to be soul conscious? And Lord, that we'd be sensitive to your Holy Spirit as he leads us and directs us to open our mouths. May we be prompt in our obedience. Lord, again, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time. I pray these things in your name. Amen.